Hi, Robert hier. Dieser Podcast wird euch präsentiert von der Hannover Messe. Wir sagen vielen herzlichen Dank an die Kollegen in Hannover und jetzt geht's los. Robotik in der Industrie. Der Podcast mit Helmut Schmidt und Robert Weber.
Hello everybody and welcome to a new episode of our Robotics Podcast. My name is Robert Weber and it's a pleasure to talk to Helmut Schmidt in Munich. Helmut, welcome.
Hello, all to you. Hello.
And today we are moving on to Singapore with our robotics correspondent, James. James, welcome.
Thank you very much. Great to be here.
Great to have you with us because you are a bit under of stress. You've got a new job. Tell us about it.
I've got a new job working for a German ultrafiltration ceramic membrane manufacturer.
Oh, and are you happy?
Yeah, I'm working with my old CEO from Universal Robots.
Okay.
So I'm enjoying it. Great German tech and in a pretty vital industry. So certainly enjoying the space.
But you're still interested in robotics.
Oh, very much. And our water systems need pretty advanced automation to bring them to life. So still got my hand in industrial automation quite significantly.
Okay. Today we want to talk a bit about robotics in South Korea. James, South Korea and robotics. What's the first thing that comes to your mind?
I think it's, the market size and the way that it's growing. You know, it's estimated at some $6 billion. And it's got a kind of CAGR or, capital annualized growth rate of, north of 10% generally. With I think the highest installed base of industrial robots per worker in the world. So it's really, quite a powerhouse in terms of its adoption of robotics and automation technology. And, you now see that also being driven by the government heavily subsidizing robotics in terms of adoption and also heavily subsidizing R&D in the robotics space.
And they spend a lot of money, right?
A lot of money. Like they're estimating about $450 million in, per annum in incentives.
Yeah, but I think not only money, Helmut, because they are also very technology friendly when it comes to legislation, when it comes to new laws. There's this topic AGVs in the pedestrian zone. So it's a totally different approach than to a European or to a US approach, right, Helmut?
Absolutely. As James mentioned, on the one hand side, they put a huge amount of money. So this is a little bit similar to China, or government-driven money. But even more, as you just also mentioned, they're quite flexible within legislation. And also believe, and this would be then a question also to James, they are more open, maybe similar to Japan or Japanese, open to interact and to accept robotics in the society. James, my question is just said it. So Germany is the has the biggest or the highest installation rate in Europe. It's about a little bit more than 450 per 10,000 robots. But Korea, it's more than 1,000. It's almost three times as high, and with this the highest penetration per employees. Why do you believe it's both Germany but also Japan number four and Korea are industrial countries well developed, but why is it still three times higher? Well, what is the main driver?
Yeah, I think it's a good question. I mean, I think, what all three countries, Japan, Korea, and Germany have is an incredibly strong automotive base. But I think, what you're seeing materialize in Korea is an even, can I say a strengthening of that automation, of that automotive base and a very, very strong microelectronics base, including semiconductor, which I think, distinguishes it from Japan. Korean automotive and Korean semiconductor or microelectronics have been really well adopted globally, probably, more so with the exception of Toyota than Japan, and generally more so than Japanese microelectronics. Now, I'm not aware of Germany having a massive microelectronics industry such as semiconductors. So I think that's a key differentiator for the Korean market, is they have a well-established and still growing automotive and microelectronics segment.
In which sectors is robotics growing there? So it's automotive, semiconductors, or which industries are benefiting?
Well, I think that the base has always been automotive, and I think you could also say semiconductor, but what you also have in Korea is a very strong shipping industry, which has adopted robotics quite rapidly.
In shipping industry, okay.
In terms of welding in particular, You're also seeing, like Japan, Korea has an aging population, but they also have, you know, the standards of living in South Korea are increasing, which is, you know, on the other side of the coin, you know, to aging population, you have a, you know, upwardly mobile Generation Z and what follows it, who don't want to work in restaurants or in the service industry. So what you're seeing in Korea is these new segments expand for humanoid robots to care for the aging population. And you have probably one of the fastest growing food, beverage, and service robot segment anywhere in the world. You know, serving coffee, frying chicken, that sort of thing.
Yeah, but from my point of view, the time of adaptation or transforming the whole industry is much faster than in Japan, using robotics and automation.
Yeah, and I think that's a good comment for kind of the last 2 years. But, you know, in 2019, they still wanted to cage every collaborative robot. So I think they kind of came late to adopting in terms of uncaged collaborative. And once they've realized the potential to keep, I think, their manufacturing base low cost and relevant, they've really accelerated the legislative adoption of collaborative robots and AGVs, as you've spoken about, in terms of the you know, the regulatory changes for AGVs on public streets.
And are the Koreans focused on own robots, or do they also, as you mentioned, import a UR or a Fanuc or a Yaskawa or something else, or do they have their Dozan, Hyundai Robotics, etc., etc.?
Look, I think in the industrial space, of course, they still do Fanuc and ABB and KUKA, but they really have developed their own. And of course, they use Universal Robots as well. But I think the rapid development of, you know, Hyundai Robotics, Samsung Robotics, some cool startups like Rainbow, and, you know, the recent IPO of Doosan Robotics, these homegrown robots, you know, coming up the curve really, really quickly to be, you know, I would say most Korean robots are 90% of what a UR are now mechanically. And, you know, that would be worst case. And I think, you know, from a user interface, that's getting better and better. And, you know, when you look at the certifications some of these robots have to deal with food.
So, Helmut, James mentioned Rainbow Robotics. You met them at Hannover Messe. So what is so special with Rainbow Robotics?
One part, what's special is that Rainbow Robotics introduced a whole robot family. So most new suppliers start with a 3 kilo, 7 kilo, or 10 kilo robots. At least in Hannover, they introduced the whole robot family with different payloads and reach. They also integrated already some AI technology and sensitivity. And of course, to be honest, it looks like a UR copy, as many Chinese as well. But I was impressed in a very short time to get a whole robot family done. And they're currently also searching for integrators in Europe, in Germany. But they have not been known up so far, to be honest.
But James, you mentioned Dozan, you mentioned Hyundai, you mentioned Samsung. So is the whole industry focused on these big players? So this is very typical for Korea, that they have these big players, and these big players are doing everything: robotics, shipping, cars, batteries, semiconductors, smartphones. Is this a special thing about South Korea?
I think Doosan's probably the one that I see consolidating their technology within their other business units, and then also wanting to, the greatest form of flattery for UR is to be copied. And I think, you know, Doosan are rapidly, you know, becoming as good, if not better than UR in terms of payload and reach and usability. And technology transfer in Asia is pretty common, right? So whilst UR was the first guys out of the blocks, the others are catching up. And then you see, you know, a form of nationalism taking over as you see, well, why can't we do this with a Korean robot? Equally, you know, you're seeing hyper customization for the needs of the Korean market by Rainbow, by Doosan, you know, with the robots meeting certifications for food safety and human interaction. So, you know, Doosan's probably moved the fastest, but I suspect that you'll see Hyundai and Samsung similarly follow.
What about the US market for South Korean robotics? Is it a target market for them?
Yeah, I think, you know, certainly for Doosan, you know, post IPO, they're not really focused on outside Korea on Asia. They're heavily focused on their North American and European units, with, you know, they're with placing senior Korean executives with Western, you know, Western experience, serious Western operating experience in Europe, and the same in the United States.
When I was in contact with South Korean companies, it's always a little bit difficult to communicate with them. There's nobody's responsible for something. They are not sure we will give the interview. It reminds me a bit of the early 2000s when talking with Japanese companies. Is there maybe they also need to professionalize a bit communication, marketing, focusing services on the markets, or am I wrong? Maybe I got the wrong guys.
No, I think that's not a bad assessment. You know, in my last consulting engagement, I was dealing with some Doosan distributors, and when I asked them, and the non-Korean but in APAC, and they said that the way that they got tech support was actually through a WhatsApp community of other users, that because it was not always easy to navigate the headquarter organization. And I think that's because, you know, to get to the person who makes the decision is not easy. So I agree with you. I think there's a way that, you know, in the same way that Japanese organizations increasingly are learning how to deal with Western markets in a Western way, that the Koreans are similarly adopting the same approach. And that's why, you know, when you look at who they placed in, Doosan placed as their head of Europe. You know, he was educated at US schools. He's done time working in the investment banking industry in the United States. He's very Western.
Mm-hmm. But James, you also just mentioned, of course, the biggest player like Doosan, Rainbow, Hyundai, but most of them are doing industrial robots or cobots. If you now look on the trend on humanoids, just have been a Beijing conference, many Chinese companies introduced humanoids, some US companies as well. How is the status on humanoids in Korea?
Look, I think the guys, from what I can see, there's a real focus on humanoid robotics with AI for natural integration or interaction, you know, focusing on customer service, education, and elder care, which, you know, I think we talked about for Japan from the Japan perspective. So they, you know, they're very focused in what they're doing with humanoids, and so they should be, because they're, you know, from what I'm seeing, the expecting market growth is about 50%, you know, CAGR by 2027. So, you know, they certainly are preparing themselves to be big players in this humanoid space.
But is then Hyundai the main driver, or do they have dedicated humanoid startups focusing only on humanoids?
Yeah, they do have dedicated startups just focusing on humanoids. You know, in fact, Rainbow, the collaborative robot from Rainbow, is only, you know, Rainbow's part of a bigger organization called the Korea Advanced Institute of Science and Technology, which are known for their humanoid robots. So Rainbow is really just one string to the bow that organization has. The other part is solely focused on humanoid.
Okay.
That's interesting.
You were talking about investing a lot of money, reducing regulations, but what I read in the newspaper, it's very impressive. It's about the stable city. It's like a robot technopolis, building a total new city with playgrounds, and I think should be finished 2027. Self-learning city. Do you know any insights about the stable city?
Look, I only know probably what I've read as well, Helmut. But what I have read aligns to trying to make it if you like an Asian version of what Denmark's tried to make Odense. If you like, but they're also parceling into this free trade zone, because Korea is uniquely positioned within Asia Pacific and close to the Americas, you know, with a cost base that's favorable to Europe and the US. You know, so I think the combination of industry clusters in Daegu, as well as the fact that it will be an innovation hub, will only, you know, only spur the Korean robotics space onto to bigger and greater things.
When you think about South Korea and robotics, what worries you a bit, James?
I think the technology's sound. You know, from a quality standpoint, you know, I think depending on where you sit or where you live, you'd be hard pressed to determine of a Japanese-made robot, a German-made robot, or a Korean-made robot, which would be how you would order those. But because I think the quality standard is very high from all three countries. What worries me is if the Koreans can't get on top of this communication challenge, if that makes sense. That's where I see, I think, Universal Robots has been extraordinary is the platform.
Communication, you mean with the community or with your customer, right?
With the community and with the customer. Because I think that's where, you know, sometimes it's interesting to know, to see what has driven the innovation at UR. Is it UR or has it been their partners? You know, their ecosystem partners, their distribution partners who found really cool ways to use the robot that probably weren't contemplated in product management initially. And I think if that way of collaborating due to language barrier, due to organizational structures that are inefficient, which we talked about it for Korea, doesn't get solved, then opportunity will get walked past.
What do you think is the most exciting development in the moment in South Korea when it comes to robots?
I think the pulling it all together in Daegu City. And I really do think that the IPO for Doosan, their broad platform of robots and the way they want to aggressively take those robots into Western Europe and North America, I think they watch that space.
Helmut, last question.
Maybe in addition, because this was what you were starting. So we have been talking a lot, of course, on industrial robots. But you mentioned at the beginning, and this is almost not existing in Europe in Europe at all. It's slowly growing. It's about the service robotic marketing, like cooking and servicing. And is this in the future the fastest and the biggest robotics market, essentially? Or why is it so different in this kind of niches?
I think it's a market that's you know, relatively new, Helmut. You know, it's a new application and only certain robots have the ability to fulfill the regulatory requirements to service it. And you've got a rapidly, you know, the living standards of Koreans are rapidly increasing. And in Asia, it's, you know, not common for educated folks to work in restaurants and the like, which is maybe a different to Europe. You know, or where I come from, where that's what you do when you're at university, but not so much in Asia. So I do see food in Asia growing, as with, you know, we talk about collaborative robots doing what's dull, dusty and dirty. Well, you know, I think eventually maybe food service and food catering may fall into that as well, as we don't have people that want to do those roles. So I think it will grow. But it's growing off a small base. You know, I really think where they're going with humanoid is where we got countries with aging populations, which include China and Japan and Korea and a lot of Western countries. I think that space is something we should be watching.
Okay. And when you should bet on a country, is it South Korea or China or Japan when it comes to robotics?
If I had to bet on a country outside, you know, the Europeans, I'd be betting on South Korea.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Why?
Because I think if I was to transpose the experience of Samsung or Kia or Hyundai in automobiles and electronics to a robotics organization like Doosan or Samsung or Hyundai in robotics, I think the Koreans have demonstrated their ability to compete with the best and become the best.
James, thank you very much for your insight on the South Korean market. What is still on your agenda for today? You have to work for your German company?
No, I'm about to go and pick my two little girls up from the German school.
Perfectly. Okay, perfectly. Do they learn German?
They do.
They do?
Yes.
Okay. So we will record the next episode in German.
they really want daddy to learn German, and now daddy's working for a German company. I have no excuse.
Okay. Yeah, so next time we talk about China in German.
I look forward to it.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thanks.
Cheers. It was a pleasure. Cheers.
Bye now.
Robotik in der Industrie. Der Podcast mit Helmut Schmidt und Robert Weber.